many people think that the Bible is irrelevant in 21st century living. If anyone who thinks that way, they should read chapter 27 and chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, because it lists everything that God told them not to do. And God said He will curse; they will be cursed if they do these things. But guess what? They are the same things what this carnal world is trying to do. So it is real. In reality, is very relevant whether the people like to admit that fact or not. The convenience of civilization, such as car, computers, and other products that possibly make our lives easier or more difficult. I mean, the reason why I say difficult is, at the beginning, we thought the cell phone is going to make our life easier. But in reality, let's face it, it's more like an invisible leash, isn't it? People yanking each other. So what we have that side of product, as well as culture might be changed, but the core mentality of mankind is exactly the same. Carnal and not willing to obey the Lord's command. And don't think that we are willing to obey God's command. That's not the fact. How do I know? Go to the Jeremiah 17, please. Verse 9. You guys know this by heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This heart is not about one person's heart, or one dictator's heart, one villain's heart, but rather it is about everybody's heart. The major portion of the chapter 27 and 28 will be repeated in the book of Joshua, chapter 7 and 8. But when they once get into the promised land. So we will stop here and pray. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to know You, that we may do what is right in Your sight, that we may receive blessing instead of cursing of God. Father, teach us what kind of thing we should follow, what kind of thing we should do. You write Your commandment in our heart instead of a stone. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 1, please. Now Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you today. And it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones, and whitewash them with a lime, and you shall write on them all the words of this law. When you have crossed over, that you may enter the land of which the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you. Therefore it shall be, when you have crossed over the Jordan, that on Mount Ebal you shall set up these stones which I command you today, and you shall whitewash them with lime. And there you shall build on an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use iron tool on them. You shall build with a whole stone on the altar of the Lord your God, and offer the burnt offering on it to the Lord your God. And you shall offer the peace offerings, and you shall eat there, and rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall write very plainly on the stone all the words of this law." When Israel came into the promised land, they are supposed to build an altar. Not just any altar. This is just one piece of stone, and a gigantic stone, and several of them, as a matter of fact, not using any stone covers tool. I believe it was Chuck LaGrand or Gary, I don't know which one of you that sent me this email with a bunch of photos of the gravestone. And one of them has a motorcycle cop look. Literally somebody chiseled it. It's outstanding artwork. And That's not what God wanted. God does not want the people to pay attention to the sculpture, the artistic sculpture of the stone. He just wants a simple rock as is, nothing more. So all the attention goes to the God's commandment, not in the artistic view of or the sculpture. That's why God says, don't touch him. Just leave him as is, and also write the commandment of his law plainly, not fancy way. I don't know much about the chemistry, but I'm venturing to say this. Lime acidic juice was pretty much to clean up the surface of the rock. And so they can whitewash the surface and use it as a canvas to write the commandment. Anything we can do to make God's word more accessible to others is a good thing. As long as the integrity of the God's word is preserved, anytime God's word is presented, it must be presented with a plainness. I know some people try to make the Bible as if it's some sort of secret code. It's not. It's plain and simple. Read as is, take it literally most of the time, then you cannot go wrong. That is one of the reasons why the Bible teachers and pastors should take their job very seriously. As long as they are called by the Lord in that position, they must communicate the Word of God plainly with integrity as the Lord intended. Remember, how do you keep everything in the way God intended? Keeping in context. A person asked me, since the Bible says don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing, so I choose not to know how much I'm giving to the church. Well, that mindset is good, but you already know how much you're giving. And that's why he doesn't want to even ask for the tax deductible receipt. So I said, no, that's not what he meant. When you read in the context, that is for the people who are blabbering around how much they're giving to others, like the Pharisees did. They blow the trumpet, this is how much I'm giving to the God. You know, when you watch some of the Christian radio, Christian TV station program, especially when they do this week-old telethon, and they continue saying, this person give how much, this person how much, that's for the glory of man. Not for the glory of God. That's what he's talking about in that don't let the right hand know what the left man left. Okay, what the left hand is doing. Okay, move down to verse 11, please, in chapter 27. And Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, this shall stand on the mountain Gerizim to bless the people, and when you have crossed over the Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph and Benjamin, and this shall stand on the mountain Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. See, I'd like you to pay attention to this picture. See, this gives us a map. Let me get this thing out. Here's Mount Gerizim, and right here is Shechem. And the mountain Ebal is right here on the northern side of the map. Now, Shechem is a kind of valley area. I think I have another picture. Maybe I do not. It's a kind of valley area in the Shechem. And the Shechem is about 550 feet lower than the other two mounts. You cannot really call it mountain. It's a literally mount. As if you're coming up from the bottom, Sarita, coming up here, this is considered a mount. That's about as far as it goes. 550 feet is not that high. So can you consider yourself in the midst of the 2 million people, 1 million here, the other million on the other side of the mount, and they are hollering at each other. So Levi says something, and this one says amen, and Levi says another thing, and this side says amen. I bet it was quite a sight to watch him, right? This dramatic scene happened in Joshua chapter 8, 32 through 35. As the spiritual leader, they read this curse. They aren't predicting what would happen if the people disobey. Rather, they are calling upon the Lord to send this curse on the people if they turn away from Him. Down the road, we're going to see what Moses is going to say. You are going to disobey God. He already knows, and God already knew. Now, whenever they say Amen, which means so be it, and they are telling God that they are willing to be chastened by Him if they disobey God. Let me put it this way. Not just these people, Christians, I'm talking about Christians. They know what the Bible says about certain sins. They know it, but somehow in their own mind, it does not affect me. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some people think that I know what Bible says, but this does not affect me. Yes, it does. Some people say, well, I know what the Bible says about fornication, sex before marriage, or sex outside of marriage, adultery. I know what it says, but I am exception. I'm okay because we love each other. Really, show me in the Bible. We cannot justify our sin trying to rationalize. We're going to talk more about that. Their amen wasn't just their agreement with the word spoken, rather it was their acceptance of the terms of covenant. And God said, this is what is going to happen. Do you agree? And they say, amen, which means, so be it. Let it happen. Yes, I agree with that. It's like a verbal signature. Are you with me on that? This curse was closely related with the law that Moses had delivered and explained, especially the Ten Commandments. Just about every kind of the law that you find in the five books of the First Old Testament can be summarized in the Ten Commandments. And then it can be shrunk down to the two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Remember, the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments is dealing with God's relationship, with a vertical relationship. And that last six of them is dealing with a horizontal relationship. If you love God, this will be all taken care of. First through fourth commandment will be taken care of. If you love your neighbors as yourself, all the rest of six commandments will be taken care of. Are you with me on that? Okay. Verse 1 of chapter 28, please. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, if you look at the chapter 28 in literary form, this, as I said before, this is a kind of treaty between king and his subject. And this is what God says, and you, subject of a king, will follow this way. If the nation Israel had simply followed the command of their Lord God, He would have to protect them, provide for them, and bless them beyond their imagination. But they threw all out by following worthless idol. Because they thought that other gods, so-called gods, can do better. Do you know why? Come up with a good answer. Yeah. Okay, I agree. Another thing. That's the point. Other so-called idols, they could see, they are tangible. They can touch Him, they can see Him, they can even make their own gods. What kind of God you have to carry them around? What kind of God you have to make them, and if you don't like them, destroy them and make another one. And remember the conversation between Laban, you know, the Jacob's brother-in-law, and his daughter Rachel. She stole the household god, and she was hiding him under the cellar. She sat on their god. Wow, that is some god you have to sit on him. Also, this sounds familiar. People are willing to trade off one true God for something tangible, something they can, like a materialistic. I believe that God's hand was upon this country, United States, from the beginning, from the birth. Now, the liberal of this country is doing everything they can, and they cannot do enough damage in this country. Each day makes a difference. Each day they come up with a new way to destroy the country. The recent stupidity of the Attorney General and the White House, they come up with this thing. They said they will no longer defend the marriage between one man and one woman. And I used to have a respect for the Robert Gates, Secretary Robert Gates, no longer. And him and Mike Mullen, Admiral, they spearhead repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now the homosexuals are going to have a heyday with their perversion in the military. In this country, educational systems are doing everything they can also to remove all the word God mentioned in the textbook. They are literally rewriting the history of this country, taking out all the God's name, and then they said, God bless you. And well, God bless America. Which God are you talking about? In the public event? He's literally robbing the constitution of the individual. But then again, they swore the oath. So military personnel might have a hard time. However, in Chicago, their state attorney general is asking police department to hand out all the gun owners' name and address. Did you hear about that? In Chicago, in Illinois, state of Illinois. They're asking gun owners' list. And the police department said, you're not getting it. Because it's Second Amendment. Israel wasn't destroyed by her military weakness. Rather, she was rotten from the inside because she lost the sight of God. Just like the United States is going down, there's not a thing any human can do to stop it. Do you agree? All right, go down to verse 18, please. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandment and his statute, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. The covenant of the aspect of the choice was the sword with a double edge. If you obey God, you will be blessed. Obedience carries a great blessing. At the same time, the other side of double-edged sword is if you don't obey God, become disobedient, that will carry cursing. Same thing with us. If we obey God, He will bless us. If we disobey God, He will punish us because He loves us. He's not sadistic. As I said before on last Sunday, He's not sadistic God. He wants to just make us to squirm. He wants us to bless us. He chastises us because He loves us, as the book of Hebrews said. In the rest of chapter 28, we find a summary of judgment. I put it in your sermon outline note. So I'm not going to read that. You guys go home and check it. You might want to make sure I did it correctly. It's quite a depressing, the long list of calamities, don't you think? Look at it. Just go through the few things. Children's curse and low birth rate. Maybe now you can apply that to the abortion. By the way, just in case you didn't know, $350 million of your tax money, my tax money, went to the abortion clinic Planned Parenthood last year. Did you know that? Obama said not a one penny will go to the Planned Parenthood at the beginning of his presidency. He doesn't understand the meaning of lying. Not only the Deuteronomy chapter 20, also the Jeremiah, his book, the Lamentation, is a solemn reminder that it doesn't pay to rebel against God. Now move down to the verse 68, please, of chapter 28. And the Lord will take you back to the Egypt in ships by the way of which I said to you, you shall never see it again, and there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as a male and female slaves. Get that, get this. But no one will buy you. Remember, Jewish people are very, very proud people. They take a pride in their heritage. And they are sold as a slave to the Egyptian, and no one will buy them because they don't care about them. That's an insult to injury, in my opinion, to especially their nationalistic pride and privilege. I believe that the Lord has a sobering message here for the church in today's world. Like Israel of the old, the world, God's chosen people and holy nation has a greatly blessed in Jesus Christ. We are here to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the others. But if we don't follow Him, and cursing will be upon us. Punishment will be upon us. Go to chapter 4 of the First Peter, please. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 17. For the time has come for the judgment to begin. Where? House of the Lord, house of God. If it begins with us first, what will be in the end, those who do not obey the gospel of God? Think about it. Don't think that God's going to judge it outsider first. He's going to judge it. He's going to cleanse the house of God first. If God chasten His own people for their sins, what will He do for those who don't belong to the family and have resisted His will? But the judgment will begin at the house of God's family, and the only way we can avoid it is to turn from our sin to obey His will. Here's a good example in the book of Revelation chapter 3. Since you're in the back, go to right, chapter 3 of book of Revelation. Chapter 3, verse 14. And to the angels of church of Laodicea, write these things, say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you were lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will what? Vomit you out of my mouth. And because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. In my opinion, that describes the spiritual condition of America. Okay, go down to the verse 4 of chapter 29, please. Chapter 29, verse 4. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive. Back to Deuteronomy, chapter 29. Yet the Lord has not given you the heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. How often do you guys use the word perceive? Not often for me. I know what that means, but I want to know the real meaning. So I checked my dictionary, and it says it meant to become aware of, know, and discover. Has a good nuance and it has a good meaning. So, wouldn't it be great if we get to have a heart to know and discover what the Lord likes and doesn't, and eyes to see what the Lord wants us to see, ears to hear what the Lord wants us to listen and obey. Wouldn't that be great if we have that all heart to go with that, eyes to do, and ears to follow? One of the prayer requests I do is, let me see my sin. God bless you. Let me see my sin the way you see. And I despise it. That's one of my prayer. If I continue to stay on that course, I wouldn't go very far from God. The only way we can do that is through His Word. Some people say, well, when I ask them, one of the frequent questions I ask to people is, that, do you read the Bible? And they say, well, yeah. I ask them, how often? That's when the answer become blurry. Well, I read once in a while, like how often in a year? Maybe a couple times. No wonder why they go through a difficult time. No wonder why they don't hear from God. Okay, move down to verse 19, please. And so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart. Get this. This is the person who is sinning against God. I shall have peace even though I follow the dictates of my heart. As though the drunkard could be included in with the sober. What does it mean? It means drunk person think that he is sober, so he is trying to mingle with the people who are sober. Everybody knows that he is drunk. Have you ever seen the guy who is drunk? You know, when I go out with the sheriff department guys, I get to see the funny people. Oh, Shifa, I had just one drink. Yeah, sure. And I saw one guy picking up, sir, did you drink? And pick up the, you know, orange cone. He pick up, yes! Okay, I guess he's confessing. You see, once a sinner choose to go, listen, this is very important. Once a sinner choose to go against the Lord's command, there's no limit how he or she can rationalize one's sin and start to believe his own one's own lie as a drunkard believes that he's sober like the rest of people. They will start to rationalize in every way. Speaking of following the dictates of one's heart, do you know there is a church, the first service, at the first service, there are 300,000 people. In the second service, there are 2 million people. Yes, Oprah. Church of Oprah. When I said, you know, Reverend Oprah, you thought I was joking. No. She is pretty much, in her own mind, and with the 2 million people following, she is a reverend. Practically, she is God. Let me put it this way. In her show, often, she give away all these things. Sometimes she give away cars. Dumb people who goes to see her, I say dumb people because they are so materialistic that they cannot think anything else. They think that it is her giving out that cars. It is her giving out the product. Her sponsors are doing that and she gets the claim for it. Because they're walking out the door with all these things, they literally think that she's the God who provides all these things. So what did the Reverend Oprah teach in her service? Here are the few things she taught people, and they were happy to receive them. First one, Who you are requires no belief. How about that? Easy going, right? Everybody included. Second thing, heaven is not a location. By the way, I misspelled heaven there. Haven. Heaven is not a location, but refers to the inner realm of consciousness. Huh? Not here, right? But in your handout. It's not in the handout? Okay, never mind. I should keep my mouth shut. Okay, it's in her handout. And the man on the cross, get this. Archetypal, this is just model, image, and he is every man, every woman. You're talking about heresy. And in her website, Oprah.com, you can go there, it says, my mind is God's, I am very holy. Well, maybe she misspelled it, it's like a holy, instead of H-O-L-Y, the H-O-L-E-Y. My holiness is my salvation. And let me remember that there is no sin. And do not make the pathetic error clinging to the old rugged cross. The only message of the crucifixion is that you can overcome the cross. This is the one she's brainwashing people. Additionally, she denied the exclusive way of salvation through Jesus Christ. She denounced God because, according to her, with her shallow Bible knowledge, she said, what a pathetic God, a Christian God he is, for him to be jealous God. You know why she is like this? Because she is following this guy, Eckhart Tolle. He was born in Germany, and he is the leading spiritualist of the New Age movement. Everything I said fit perfectly with the New Age. In the year of the pride, people would love to hear that nothing wrong with you. You don't sin, huh? Oh, yeah. In the latter days, the people will heap up the teachers who will tickle their ears. I have two applications. I don't want to be her, I don't want to be him in the day of judgment. We always have a choice to have God's blessing through our obedience to him, or cursing that proceed the consequences through our disobedience to him. Am I making sense? Second application, no one makes us choose cursing over blessing except ourselves. Satan cannot make you to do it. Contrary to the popular opinion, you know, devil made me to do it. That really doesn't fly in this church. So don't come up with that excuse. Yeah, the one who come up with that excuse, I will have a jab to shoot that person. Huh? Yeah. All right, let's pray. Father, it's a sobering thought that we have a choice to follow you or to go against you, as if we can fight against you. Father, it is our desire, our true desire, to honor you with our lives, with our word, and whatever we do. Teach us through your word, and remind us through your word that what is necessary to do to glorify your name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.